The singer Paul Simon says he was listening one day to a box set of old American recordings, and amid those songs, he found a Christmas sermon.
But when Christmas comes,
that's right.
Nobody knows,
that's right.
Where you'll be.
Lord.
You might ask me,
well,
I'm here.
Talk about
it. Lane,
yes,
in some lonesome grave.
That's true.
It was the voice of Reverend J.M. Gates of Atlanta, a hugely popular preacher in the 1930s and 40s. That Christmas sermon inspired Paul Simon to write a song.
From early in November to the last week of December, I got money matters weighing me down. Well, the music may be merry, but it's only temporary. I know Santa Claus is coming to town.
Paul Simon now adds that recording to a host of songs that use religious words or imagery, ranging from Bridge Over Troubled Water decades ago to the album Graceland. And the song that grew out of the sermon now leads his new album, So Beautiful or So What. The original sermon warns of someone coming for your boy on Christmas Day, maybe the police, maybe the Undertaker.
That really struck me, not only because it was really an unusual way of having a Christmas sermon, because it's very dark and it's, you know,
it's kind of a warning.
Yeah, it's like a warning. But also the call and response was different than the usual call and response that I was familiar with. There was a real rhythmic pulse to it. And then I went into the studio and I was cutting a rhythm track. And after I finished that track, which I also liked a lot, I said, but put that sermon on the track and let's see what it sounds like. And it sounded so natural.
You're saying actually the sermon is the source material. The whole song grew out of the sermon for you.
Yes, that's correct.
Getting ready, I'm getting ready, ready for Christmas Day.
Getting ready.
Some people will know that there has been religious imagery in various songs of yours for decades, but that kind of imagery seems to really pop out in a different way or in a larger way in this album.
No, it's not so much that it pops out in a larger way. Well, actually, maybe that is so. It's more frequent. I really had no plan to do that. I don't write my lyrics first. I write them after I write the music, and they begin as stories, and where they go, it's just a path that I follow, and sometimes some kind of spiritual or, you know, religious imagery will be part of the story. It's seldom the point of the story, but it's kind of a presence that lingers, and there are times in the songs when I go there, and I guess it's some impulse to use the things that imagery evokes in such a way that it helps the story or colors the mood or the emotion of the story or the song.
Love is eternal, sacred light, free from the shackles of time. Evil is darkness, sight without sight. Earth becomes a farm, farmer takes a wife. Wife becomes a river and a giver of life. Man becomes machine, oil runs down his face. Machine becomes a man with a bomb in the marketplace. Bomb in the marketplace.
The fact that there is so much reference to religion in this album makes me wonder if you're thinking about religion more, or thinking about God more.
Well, I, you know, again, I'll take issue. I don't think it's really so much about religion. There are quite a few references to God or in a spiritual sense. And I guess I would have to say from the evidence of this album that I am thinking about it more.
I wonder if the moment of revelation might have been the moment when you realized that you were actually, you or your producer are actually casting someone to sing the part of God in one of these songs.
Big Bang, that's a joke that I made up once when I had eons to kill. You know, most folks, they don't get when I'm joking. Well, maybe someday they will.
That's me singing in a really deep voice.
Oh, that's you singing the voice of God.
Yes.
I didn't realize. I didn't recognize your voice.
It is pretty low for my voice.
I'm impressed, is what I should say.
Thank you. And I'll pass that compliment on to God.
At the end of the time, there's a gospel show. Maybe now. Lake Michigan, I'm gonna cover the roads of the icy Midwest.
Do you ever run out of things to say? Musically, I mean.
Periodically. Every time I finish, then there's usually like a fallow period of a year or maybe even two when I don't have any thoughts. And I used to always think, well, maybe I'm not going to have any more thoughts, and that's just the end of my creative process. One of my favorite poets is Philip Larkin. And Philip Larkin didn't write for several years before his life ended. And when he was asked why he didn't write, he said the muse deserted him. And when I read that, it really had a profound effect upon me. It sort of scared me. So that's why I think, well, I have no right to assume that some thought is going to come.
Is that an anxious feeling when you go through those fallow periods?
Yeah, it is a little bit anxious.
But do you end up feeling well if that's it, that's it?
Well, so far it hasn't been it.
Well,
so I haven't really had to confront that. But I think in my imagination, if it is it, well, there'll probably be something else that I'm interested in.
Well, Paul Simon, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
I'm working on a rewrite, that's right. I'm going to change the ending. Won't throw away my title and toss it in the trash. Every minute after midnight.
Paul Simon's latest album is called So Beautiful. Or So What? He sings. You decide. You can hear the album in its entirety at nprmusic.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.
The family, but he really meant no harm. I'm going to substitute a car chase and a race across the rooftops when the father saves the children and he holds them in his arms. And I say, help me, help me, help me.